And I'm just so glad that God just saved me from hell. And some of the stuff he described was, like, there's fiery lakes and just unending pain, and you will thirst for water. Like, imagine you're, like, a really hot day, and you haven't drank, like, any water, and, like, your tongue is just swelling, and you will never get a drink of water. And that just, it's so bad. So, yeah, God just, he saved me from that, and, yeah, that's what I learned, and, yeah.
Anybody want to rejoice?
Obviously, one of the best parts was getting to just see Clara grow in her faith and get to know God more and know his goodness. But beyond that, I always appreciate the chance to just step away from normal life and kind of like go into the wilderness to meet with God and to learn more of his goodness and his wisdom. It's especially nice when there's like 15 pastors telling you of his goodness. So DTC is a really nice big win. This time I felt like God was telling me a lot about how much I need to be trusting him and watching for him moving in my life and not doing things myself. So one of the biggest places I heard that was in Haggai. All of you are obviously very familiar with the book, really popular. But Steve Nelson gave a second talk on Haggai where he was talking about one of the prophecies where God says to Israel, everything you do and everything you say is defiled. And that no matter what they did, whether they were trying to rebuild the temple or trying to follow the law, it was defiled because they'd already sinned. And that hits pretty deep because I've sinned, and I think everyone in this room has sinned. If you haven't, good job. But then God says he's going to bless them anyway. And that is even more true today because God has died. Jesus has died for our sins. And we don't have to be seeking to do everything perfect because we never can and we never could. And God does it for us. He saves us and he does all the work and he loves us. And that's what was hitting me, is that I can just trust him.
My big takeaway was about how I need to be taking every opportunity to share with the people around me, and I need to be working the gospel into every conversation I have, and that I need to be trying to bring people into God's light, and so they don't have to experience the bad of hell, and they can experience the fullness of God and be in his light in heaven.
Amen. Cool. Yeah, well, thank you for those stories. Appreciate it. You know, I do think the as we kind of step into Galatians here, let me pray and let me just make some comments here. Lord, we are so grateful that you've our righteousness, our ability to hold on, none of that is up to us. We are completely and utterly defiled apart from your blood. And we just rest in that today. Pray we would be clear, that you would allow us, God. And just even lift up whatever's going on there, Lord. There's somebody's life may be changing. God, would you show up? Would you bring comfort? Would you keep people safe that are serving and driving right now. God, just pray your blessing and grace would be on whatever that situation is they're responding to. That you'd show up. And your people would show up. And we just ask for our time here this morning, God, that somehow you would convince us more and more. You would allow us to be rightly moved to good actions, good responses, good heart conditions as we consider the simple gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to read the section again. If you want to review this session after this, I do think the message version of basically Galatians 2 or 3:1 up to 14, I believe it is. Yeah, it's up through 14. Why is that not moving? We are having lots of technological challenges today. We're not going to read through that again, but just to rest in, and why are we doing this? Why is this important? Why is this important now? Why is this idea of going through this book, and I don't know if all of these things were clear to us, is we just sense that Galatians would be a really good look at all the confusing things that are going around us to kind of just refocus, recenter on what is this thing called the gospel? What is the good news of Jesus Christ? See, you're trying to find some good news somewhere, okay? There's even, what's the good, John Krasinski, or, you know, he did his whole, some good news. It was great. It was fun. But that's not really good news. It's like, amidst all the chaos and pain and loss and death and defilement of being human, occasionally something encouraging happens, and that's really fun, and it gives us hope. But it doesn't really solve any problem. Think happy thoughts, think happy thoughts, think happy. It doesn't actually result in a good result. So good news should end in a good result. And so when we think about the simple truth of the gospel, I appreciate what Chloe had to share there, is if God didn't do it, nothing has been done. We can't clean ourselves. We can't hold on to it. We can't do anything. It is all his work. That is the gospel. Now, why is that important? Well, first of all, it is the primary need of our world. And there's lots of conversations and lots of debates and lots of things we can give our energy to. And there's lots of really good deeds to walk in and ways to bring grace and ways to bring love and way to demonstrate who God is and what he's like. But this is the only thing that will transform and rip someone out of the kingdom of darkness and place them into the kingdom of life. Everything else is less than that and does not have an eternal impact. It may be a part of their story, but unless we go all the way to where someone is persuaded that Jesus is Messiah, that his death really did pay for their sins. He was the substitutionary death, and by believing in that, they can be saved, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Everything else is band-aids. Everything else is band-aids. Does that mean we don't care about doing good? No. But we have to keep the main thing the main thing. And in this time, it's really easy to get distracted. The main thing is, you know, fighting for this or against this or this, whatever. And we're just filling our mind as a people. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying as the American people, we're filling ourselves with all these voices and all these ideas and all these truths. And some of them are not true. But by the way, I was encouraged to know that the word snot is no longer in that song, Scott. I didn't notice it anywhere. So evidently we did actually sing the snot out of that song. It's gone. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about the gospel? The gospel is about God. And all those primary things, thinking like Jesus. Again, nobody asked me about this. If this isn't your frame of reference, maybe you already have it and you don't need this, but if this is not your frame of reference, that you don't build the foundation on this book and begin to form your opinion on what God is like, what human beings are like, that there is spiritual activity right now. It may or may not be the way you think it should be or the way someone you told you was, but it is happening. Without question, and that our clear purpose is living as children of God and reclaiming the whole world, reconciling the whole world back to Jesus. If that is not your framework for decision making right now, you're going to make decisions that 1,000 years from now go, why did I do that? Why did I not cling to the simple gospel? And there are gospel opportunities right now in your own heart to believe and to rest and to know that God is big enough if you can take that which is utterly defiled, unredeemable in and of itself, and transform it by the power of His Spirit into a living, breathing son or daughter of God. If He can do that, He can fix whatever is broken. Will He? I don't know. That's up to Him. He's God. It's His kingdom. It's His plan. But my job is not to go ahead of Him trying to fix things. My job is to stay in step with Him. And if we get ahead of the gospel, it becomes so, so confusing. And I have this, I can send out a doc. We can put it even in the e-news. I know you can't read all the details. And maybe you'd have slightly different key points. This is a way to summarize. If you don't have this kind of framework, are we believing biblical truth? And here's what we need for unity. I appreciate Scott bringing this up. I think there are two critically important pieces that the people of God, if they have those two pieces, they can be united and still think differently about a lot of things. One, is the answer in here? The foundation of Scripture. Is the answer in here? We may read the same passage and come up with a different answer or a different understanding, but can we agree? Well, I see that this way and you see it this way, but that's the answer. No tradition, no authority, no science, nothing is going to cause me to be shaken from this is the answer. This is the foundation. And I call that the sufficiency of Scripture. Does that mean that we only do what the Bible says? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But does this inform every decision? Is this the foundation everything is built on? Or are there other things? And the second is the supremacy of Christ. There is no other. There is no alternative. Jesus is the only way. And that is really good news, because the warning of He's the only way is to speak loud and clear. There is no one else coming. It's the message of the book of Hebrews. Why would He say that? Because there's no one else coming. You got to believe it now, because the answer is here, and it's the only answer. And you can put your hope in other things, but God has said unequivocally, there is no other plan. It's just this one. There's not going to be another name. There's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another chance. This is it. If we don't believe that as a part of our simple gospel, we'll get confused. And we'll try to rest. Oh, gee, what about, and what, oh, what if? No, it's clear. This is what we have to proclaim, the simple gospel. God has been accurately revealed in His Word. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises, all the rules, all the plans, all the story. It's Jesus. He's been placed above all things. And He's the only answer. And that is the simple gospel. And in Paul's case, that he makes in this is, it's always been about faith. Believing, and we're prone to either, I don't know, control, fear, I'm not sure, confusion about what the Scriptures are actually teaching. We want to go, well, faith isn't just believing. Yeah, it is. Now, if you have real faith, will it bear fruit? In most cases, yes. Do I know? Can I tell? Can I tell that a little girl had, it was a daughter, a granddaughter, right? A little girl had something going on that would cause strokes and possible death? Nope. Was it there? Yep. Did God know it? Yep. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what your choice is revealing. I don't know where you're at in your story. So for me to judge you, ooh, you're probably not a believer. That is not the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus? That is what is required for salvation, for justification. Salvation from eternal death. The law doesn't accomplish anything for us. It only proves something to us, and that is that we cannot keep the law. We are utterly defiled. So in Paul's age, this was the debate. So Paul had given them the pure gospel. Believe in Jesus. He's Messiah, and his blood is the propitiation, the substitutionary death. And by stepping into that, stepping into Him and trusting Him through faith, you are covered. And then, plus, Paul says, plus nothing. That's it. That's the end of justification. Stop. Well, let us fill in what Paul missed. And they started asking, you know, basically keeping the law, becoming Jewish. And quite frankly, when you look at the history of the gospel coming to the region around Israel, it was a long time before it really transitioned and went to the Gentiles. So it's very easy to understand how people could get confused that this is just, we're just moving forward as the people of God and being Jewish. And now we're going to keep welcoming people into being Jewish. So it's not like, duh. It took a significant decision in Acts 15 to get it clear. But Paul, it was clear the whole time. But for the people who were processing, what does this mean? What does it mean the kingdom has come to us? It took a while to sort it out, and they landed in exactly the right place. You do not have to obey the law, which includes food rules, days, festivals, anything. You don't have to observe that. That's no longer your justification. Now, are some of those things good ideas? Maybe. Is it a requirement for salvation, for justification? No. What is required for salvation is to believe in Jesus, that he is Messiah, God's one and only solution to the problem of our defilement, and that resting in him, in his finished work, we rest in that. Hallelujah. Oh, let's not be tired. Let's not be exhausted trying to impress God. Let's rest in the finished work of Jesus. There's plenty of work to get tired from. Let it not be our own standing before God. It is finished. So what I asked you, and I don't know how many of you did that. So what are today's, well, it's faith. And then in the fine print, plus, how do we judge each other? How do we become Judaizers in this age? What are the things that go, this person's trying to rob me of my freedom in Christ. This person's trying to add a yoke of slavery to me. How do we do that to each other in this age? Nobody thought about it? Susan?
Maybe certain standards of dress.
Say that again. Yeah, external things. Oh, this is how you have to dress. And in certain church cultures, obviously, we don't have much standard in terms of, you know, this, it's got to be this way when we gather. But in certain places, in certain contexts in Christendom, if I stood up here without a tie and started teaching, I mean, people would, their blood pressure would be just like collective bubbling up. For sure. Those outward things, how we look, how we dress, how we wear our hair.
What a service looks like. Because I want to say church attendance, and there's faith action that flows out of that. But
yep.
In terms of it should look like this, or you gather this many times, or...
Yep. Again, depending on the tradition or the denomination or what that is. Well, if you don't meet these times, then you're not really a Christian. You're going to fail. And what it looks like, I just love it. I love it. There is nothing we do that's biblical when we gather. Nothing in terms of the form we take. There is no biblical command to sit in rows, listen to one guy teach for X amount of time, or to play instruments from a stage. None of that is expressed. Now, is the ideas we're expressed? Hopefully those are biblical ideas. But the way we do it is not biblical. It's not unbiblical. It's just the Bible doesn't tell us how to gather, how to teach. We are very Western, very Roman, very, very, it's just that model. Chest up here.
What version of the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that can be a really big deal. Which is, I mean, I've read enough to know I'm not convinced. I haven't read everything. Someone says something really strongly, I tend to go, well, let me see if they've got something to say here. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to get to the end of it and go like, no. No, that's not accurate. It's an opinion, actually, not on the version. It's on the text that produced the version. I mean, that's fundamentally what is at risk there, is which version of the ancient documents are you using to translate. for sure. But yeah, this is the only way to find God's truth. Do you have something, Scott? Yep. Yep, this is the right way to live. If you're not this way, if you don't see these issues this way, then you probably aren't a real believer, and we can really actually just start to devour each other. Now, that is not to say, by the way, I do think there's an ordering of values that we're going to be accountable for. Okay? And the primary difference between good people on the left and good people on the right, because there are evil, manipulative, power-hungry jerks on both sides. I'm talking about the good people who are trying to make good decisions. We all share the same values, by and large. We just order them differently. What's the highest priority? What's the most important thing? For me, my highest value is human life. Decides every election, every decision. I'd like to have more choices where I could go down to the second value. I never get to. I never get to. I have been called to be a protector of life. I don't like a whole bunch of crap about this, but I must protect life. That is sacred. That's the image of God. And if any political law, anything says that is not valuable, I can't offer my support to it. So I never get to any other fun debates on, well, let's work on this. Because that divides it for me. And that's my highest value as a citizen, is that all citizens have value, and they can't have value if we don't protect them. Pre and post birth. So that's where I land. But we order our values different. And there are lots of good people all over the spectrum, politically, etc., values that they would just order them slightly different. Can we have those conversations? So that's certainly a part of it. Just a couple other that I was thinking of. What's muddying the waters of the simple gospel? And it's not just Judaism, but what's muddying it up? And a number of things were like this legalism. There's only this way to do it. This is the only right way to do it. That may affect how you dress, whether you observe certain things, certain practices. It's like building laws on top of, yes, you have to have faith and you have to keep these rules. Well, what happens if you don't? Well, there's only a couple options. Either it's okay or it's not. What happens if it's not? You lose your salvation? Well, then what are you believing? I have to believe in Jesus and obey the law. Isn't that the message of Galatians? No! Well, I have to do this. No, you don't. That would be law. That would be rule keeping. You have to believe. And Jesus does everything else. Now, does he want you to observe commands and follow him and do good and love and lay down your life? Yes, that's an honorable response to your new birth. Is it necessary to maintain or attain your salvation? There could be nothing clearer in this book. And by the way, as you're trying to sort these out, because there's passages you go, I wonder what that means. One really good question is, save from what? You know, what's the context? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the church? Or is he talking to the world? There's ways to... I have no troubling verses on this. Not one. Not one passage that even causes me to go, oh, that's troubling. It sure looks like we're going to lose our... No, they all make perfect sense in this simple gospel, given context, given who the audience is. We can't just take a verse out of context without understanding anything else, even what salvation is. Or the word saved. What does it mean? Saved from what? Who? Because that word doesn't just mean justification. It's used a lot in a lot of different contexts. So when we bring those careful lenses, there are no confusing passages. In my mind. There's nothing, that's a hard one. Not in this arena. The gospel is very clear. Social gospel. We can solve our own problems. And we can get distracted by that even as the church in this age. Our job is to fix something rather than to present this opportunity for God to fix it all and then walk in this new identity with purity, with love, with care, with bringing good into the country, into the world, and into our city, in that sense of the gospel, but we can't solve our problems. And the false gospels out there is, no, it's up to us. We can do it. We can fix it. And really good people get delusional that's a possibility. And the creeps on the edges that really do want to control and destroy and are nefarious, they just grab them from both sides. From both sides. There are right-wing tyrants and there are left-wing tyrants. It all meets in the middle of I'm going to control and enslave you to my rules. God is not holy and just. I appreciate Claire talking about hell. You know, hell is going away from evangelicalism. It's going away. Either we end up being annihilated or... It's just really, really clear. By the way, the most dangerous Bible study phrase you can ever use when you look at a clear verse that just says, it just says something, it's really clear. And it's not referring to, you know, different word meanings. This phrase, if you hear this phrase, the alarm bell should just go off like crazy. Well, it could mean fill in the blank. Sure it could, but that's not what it says. That phrase opens Pandora's box to what, well, he said this, but it could mean this, right? I mean, it could, right? Theoretically, yes. It seems like if he wanted to say that, though, that's what he would have said. When it's clear. Again, there's things that we can debate as believers. I'm not saying it's everything's crystal clear. But when it is clear, let's not try to assign in meanings unnecessarily. Let's stick to the clear gospel, the prosperity gospel. By the way, oh no, we're not those prosperity gospel people. We kind of are. We kind of buy into this idea that if we're not comfortable, something's wrong with me, God is not keeping his end of the bargain, and we kind of have this expectation that if it's not pretty easy going and comfortable, something ain't right. I need to fix something. I got to fix something. I got to change something because I am not comfortable. And the gospel, not the gospel of justification, but the gospel of the kingdom is, yeah, there's nothing that's right yet. It's becoming right. And you're to participate in helping it become right by your willingness to suffer and bear testimony of a different economy and a different way of living. And to continue laying down your life as my body. He's the head. He's leading his body to continue to lay down our lives in the gospel that others may live. Jesus' rule and reign comes through his body. If he's not ruling and reigning in us and our willingness to step into his uncomfortable servant, suffering servant identity, we will have very little impact to change anything in this world. And so that muddies it. It's just like, ooh, I'm not feeling comfortable here. I'm going to go find another answer, another place, another group, another event, another thing, another expression of the Spirit. Finally, the Spirit shows up. Really, again? Oh, I mean, wasn't he here? Why do we need this new thing? Can we not access him in our very souls? That's where he lives. That's where he lives. He doesn't have to fall on this congregation. He needs to fall on the city. But he doesn't need to fall on us. He just needs to be allowed out and into a place of control and direction to lead and encourage. By the way, this week, is that your expectation in the simple gospel that you now have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you? Crazy thing happened to me. I consider myself a fairly prudent thinker. My brain's a little confused at times, but usually it wanders around to a pretty solid conclusion on most things. I got scammed. Got an email from somebody, friend. They've been in kind of a distressed situation for a season, and so they made a request for some help, and I go, sure, let me know what to do. And I was in the middle of about five things trying to wrap them up and move on, and so it was like, okay, fix this, move on, go, and sent $200 to, you know, an Amazon gift card, and this is not even good. I don't often think somebody asks me for $200, I just give it to them. It's just not a big deal. It doesn't show up on my radar like, oh, gee, this is a big decision. I've already predetermined. If I can bless, I'm just going to be generous. And so it wasn't like I had to prayerfully do this. Oh, here's this person. I can bless them. I can encourage them. I can tell them I love them. And they'll cost, in my value system, I'm not saying it's even wise, that it's hardly worth thinking about. Yeah, no big deal. And I'm just going along with the day and the Holy Spirit. Would you just re-look at that? But by the way, sometimes when the Spirit's trying to lead you, he does use emotion, and I just feel this little pit of anxiety. Whoa, that's kind of weird. What's going on? I went back and read it and go, yeah, I'm pretty sure this was a scam. And my first reaction, honestly, as I giggled, I said, this was brilliant. This was good. It was just, and I, gosh, if I was not filled with the Spirit, I would use this. This is worthwhile. And so part of me is going like, touche, well done. Accept the fruit of your efforts. And then part of me goes, okay, how can I get him? And the guy, who's the guy that does the videos where he talks to the Saudi prince and he, James Veach. And he's like, oh yes, I'm going after these people. And I used to run with some guys in Iowa State and Iowa City that, I mean, literally, somebody tried to hack us, they would just blow them up. I mean, they were some of the best hackers and brilliant guys. And he's just like, and it would become a war room. Hey, we're getting attacked. Everybody goes, cool! And they all run to their monitors. And start, okay, yeah, they're destroyed. It's all good now. So part of me is thinking, how can I get these, how can I play with them a little bit? Basically, all you have to do is call your credit card company and say, yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Cancel that payment, and you're okay. But if I hadn't listened to the Spirit, if I was not trying to stay sensitive to his call, and again, those are the things I usually just sniff out like at first glance. Yeah, I'll call them and see. Hey, is this from you? For whatever reason I didn't, the Spirit just brought it right back to mind. Are you willing to walk in the Spirit? It's a simple process. It is by faith, through believing, by the Spirit, apart from the works of any law. That's the simple gospel. Are we going to walk in it? By the way, let me just take a couple more minutes and we'll be done. Why is this important? Well, it is the age. What age is it? What's going on? And I will not say authoritatively that this is, you know, the precursor to Jesus coming back. All I'm going to say is a lot of things that are supposed to be true when Jesus comes back are happening now. Okay? I'm not saying this is the end. I'm just saying you have my attention. And when you look at inventions, what has happened over the last 50 to 70 years, and we can think so narrow into our life and like, oh, this has been a long time. Since the rebirth, well, since Hitler, since the rise of communism, since Israel has been reborn, it is a really short period of time in human history. Okay, so if we've been on the planet around 6,000 years somewhere, that'd be where I would land, somewhere, give or take. You know, 100 years is a pretty short season of that. Kind of the idea of an age. The age of the coming of the Messiah was 400 years between the close of the Old Testament to the coming of the King. God worked for 400 years establishing this age, bringing forth the age of the Messiah to come. He was working on Israel, preparing them for the Messiah to come. So I'm thinking 100 years. We can look at things that happened here. Oh, that's over. I don't know. Lord, you have my attention. So if this is the season, the age, and that might be 100 years more. I'm not saying let's all hunker down because I have clear instructions from the Scripture when I'm supposed to run, and it's not yet. I don't have to walk in fear. I am to proclaim the gospel. The simple gospel. Why is that important? Because I want people to actually believe in Jesus, not believe in a set of rules, not be confused by traditions or expectations. I want them to actually believe in what the Bible says is necessary, and I don't want to confuse it. Here's how you can tell if your gospel is simple. How do you encourage somebody that they say, I don't know if I'm saved? How do you tell them? How do you help remind them from the Scriptures that, yeah, that's a pretty normal thing we can wrestle with. Here's what you need to cling to. What do you tell them? Do you give them a list of laws? Are you doing this? Are you doing this and this and this and this? Oh, yeah, then you're saved. You're keeping the law. Or do you tell them, he who is in Christ, he who has Christ has life. What do you tell them? That'll tell you your gospel. I know what I tell them. Have you believed in Jesus? Do you believe he's the Messiah? Then you are justified. You are justified. Now, is your life not going well? Well, yeah, maybe you might want to consider walking in his ways. Things tend to smooth out a little bit when you use his wisdom, but not for justification. And so if that's true, if we're in that age, what is the primary thing that has to happen? What in this great mission is we have to proclaim the gospel. Do you understand the only reason Jesus isn't coming back is heaven is not fully populated? It's the only reason. The mission is not complete. He's waiting for all of his bride to be born again into his kingdom. And that's our responsibility. And if he's going to be pressing on that, I want to be cooperating with it, not being confused, not holding on, preserving my kingdom. Rather than participating in the expansion of his will, we say. And again, I don't know. I'm just saying it's, wow. This age has a lot of markers that say something could be happening here. Something could be going on that perhaps we should pay attention to. And the invention of strategies, by the way, a few things that have happened. Anybody know when the smartphone, like the current, this is fun to use and useful to me, was invented? 07, the iPhone came out, right? There were other things that existed before that. I remember in the early 1990s, mid-1990s, somebody said, we're decades away from being able to have an effective one-world government because there's no infrastructure. We need electric lines and telephone lines all over the world to be able to control people. Ah, here's a little workaround. We can be controlled. There's a lot of things in place. Are we wisely looking? And am I going to respond with fear? Not me. Oh, cool. How are we going to finish this? Because we know that the job is going to be finished. And so if we want to be laborers, he's going to use us to participate somehow in this grand and glorious conclusion to this age in history. To see the new age. Oh, man, that jazzes me. Again, I'm not looking for signs. This means that. This means that. No, I'm just looking at the whole thing. Going, there's a lot in place that needs to be in place. First, to complete the job. We have all the resources, all the strategies, all the money in the pockets of people who have believed in Jesus right now to finish the job. If we will do it. If we will do it. Will we participate in that? So why is having a simple gospel, why being clear about what is the answer to all the trauma and the questions facing our age? I got to believe the gospel. I got to believe the whole gospel. That it is the hope of the world. And that's what I just encourage us to keep wrestling with. And fight and ask the questions. Ask the questions. But if you get troubled, I need to do something. You're in a very, very dangerous place for your soul. You're not going to lose your salvation by believing you can lose your salvation. That's not one of the consequences of getting this wrong. But it could be pretty troubling. Could create some fretting in you that's unnecessary. It's not our job to judge. It's not our job. It's to call them to fellowship with the Spirit in the body of Christ. And help them be empowered to do that. Let's close there. Father, we are so grateful for the gospel. Thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. Thank you. We can add nothing to what you've done. We can't undo it. It can't be taken away from us. You promised. We had the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So if we don't get to come to you, the Holy Spirit has to go to hell. I don't think you're going to let that happen. Help us, Lord, to celebrate and rejoice and remind each other of these things and to have an awareness of the times that we would fully participate in what you're trying to accomplish on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.